Tonight's Sunday Night Big Brother Recap is sponsored by our friends over at True Car, who have some useful car tips that you might not be aware of. Did you know that a coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil can clean the interior of your car? You could also take excess weight out of your car to improve the gas mileage. And this is the weirdest one of all. You can hold your keychain remote up under your chin and it will increase its range. That's weird, but here's something that's not that weird: that True Car can also help you get a used car as well. That's right, True Car isn't just for buying a new car. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience whether you buy new or used. And with True Car, users can see what other people paid, so they'll know if they're getting a good deal before buying. They're also more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with True Car certified dealers. So when you're ready to buy that new or used car, check out True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who will not leave this podcast under any circumstances. I am Rob Sestrino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Celebrity Big Brother episode number 4 recap. Here we are on a Sunday night talking about a new HOH, new nominations as we get ready for another person to leave on Monday night. It's coming at us fast and furious, and another recap is on the way. We got a great panel for you guys tonight. First, a man who is already on fire with everything going on the Big Brother live feeds. First, welcome Mr. Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm great. I'm glad that you haven't left us despite the asthma attack. I'm glad you're back and everything's okay.
Look, asthma is no joke. A lot of people really have asthma, and it is not a laughing matter. But we will be talking a lot about asthma tonight, so we just want to have that warning up front. All right, and then a man who would have stayed in the Big Brother house under any circumstances. If he had any attack, he would have stayed through it. Here is the great Cameron Hurd. Cameron, how are you?
Doing great, man. That asthma attack was conveniently timed, I must say.
So, wow.
I think everybody was thinking what I'm thinking.
Yeah, so we have a lot to talk through here tonight. Of course, we're going to stand by with your questions as well. Hashtag RHAP to talk about everything after a busy weekend of Celebrity Big Brother. Cameron, how have you been?
Yeah, I've been doing great. I've been snowboarding and skiing a lot lately. So I've just been, I went up to Colorado, snowboarded, and I've been just enjoying this new season. It's been actually way better than I thought it would be.
Yeah, it's been good. And we have low expectations, Cameron.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Maybe it's because I had such low expectations going into the season that it's turned out to be pretty amazing.
Yeah, so, all right, a lot of fun stuff to get to. Although, this was an episode, Taryn, that not a lot of meat here to sink our teeth into in the hour that we saw tonight. And I think that that's probably going to be what we see on these Sunday night shows where, you know, we have this quick turnaround time from Friday night to Sunday. If they're going to insist on doing a live eviction on Friday night, there's really not a lot of time to create an episode here for Sunday.
Yeah, the balance is a little bit off with the Sunday episode being the HOH competition and nominations, and then the Monday episode being aftermath of nominations, veto ceremony, aftermath of veto ceremony, eviction. They're really packing a lot into Monday night.
Yeah, because in a regular week, we would have this all play out on Thursday night, and then basically the episode would be everything that happens over the course of Friday, and then nominations traditionally are what, on sometime late Friday afternoon. So this is about 24 hours of stuff that goes into the Sunday night show, and we pack a competition into there as well, where this is a lot of the thing went on Friday night, and then by like sometime like Saturday afternoon, and then the next day it's on the air. So this is a very quick turnaround time, Cameron.
I feel like the problem is they are showing all these competitions. Like I think they could have sped it up a little bit longer, or yeah, made it quicker, so that way you're not just watching competitions for the whole hour and you get more actual gameplay that's going on.
Yeah. All right. Well, Cameron, do you have a favorite celebrity in the Celebrity Big Brother house?
Right now, it's James Maslow.
Because yes.
Probably because I didn't know who he was going in. And now I'm like, whoo, he's like one he's of the only people that are playing. Yeah, his DRs are hilarious. I don't think that he's taking himself as seriously as he is. I might be going too deep into this. But and he's trying really hard to play the game. I didn't like how he threw the competition today. I hope it doesn't have a precedent for the rest of the season of people throwing competitions. But so far, I'm really liking his position in the game.
Okay, so we had the first. Let's talk about the fallout from Friday night, Taryn. And of course, we saw the big flip that happened where Chuck went out of the house. And then this was, I guess, a lot of stuff that was going on while we were doing the recap on Friday night, where Omarosa wanted to talk with Shannon about everything that went on. And Omarosa, really, you know, it's such a love-hate relationship that I have with her, because, you know, she can be such good television. This was we got it all tonight. And so we got to see her call Shannon, and she wants to have this one-on-one, and she can be so intimidating.
Oh, yeah. And again, like, she knows the beats of reality TV so well. She knows, like when Shannon is talking about the strategy for the HOH competition, she knows to get right in there and insert herself. And just like, it's kind of beautiful in a way. It feels like she's perfected her style of reality TV. But also at the same time, this is Omarosa, and she's morally questionable probably.
Well, we started with Shannon. She gets a group together and she tells them, hey, look, let's talk about what happened and let's talk about this whole thing. And we got the flashback to the final four of Shannon and Ross, and then also James and Marissa. That was going to be the final four. We flash back to that. But then Shannon needed to do damage control, Cameron, and she needed to tell that group, hey, just so you know, I had a deal with Omarosa going back to the beginning. Did you like that move from Shannon to tell that new group that, hey, let me tell you what's coming to get out in front of this story before Omarosa comes in and blows up my spot with everybody?
Yeah, that's definitely a good move, because you don't want her going to blow up your spot in the game. I think if you come clean to your allies, or else if Omarosa comes to your allies and says, hey, I was working with Shannon, now you don't trust Shannon because she just established that she's been lying to you for however long it's been, like 10 days. So you want to definitely get out in front of it. I think she did it the right way. She should have just never been in alliance with Omarosa to begin with. And then she goes and says, hey, let's all go to the kitchen where Omarosa is, and let's just confront her as a group.
As a group.
And then as soon as it happens, she just decides, all right, let's go, Omarosa. Let's go to
the room. Really Omarosa really pushing that. She said, Shannon, yeah, I'd like to talk to you solo. Shall we? Shall we?
And then she's like, do it. Like,
shall we?
I was getting like frustrated because Shannon's whole thing was to go to the kitchen and have everybody confront her. And then she just folds immediately. Like, she's just not a real good leader on that side.
Taryn, talk about from your perspective. Did you like that Shannon went and told the group about her deal with Omarosa? Because Omarosa, I feel like, has lost a lot of credibility with people in the house. And I almost feel like that telling everybody ends up making it seem like it was a bigger deal than it might have actually have been if it just came from Omarosa.
Yeah, and I think I think you're right. And I think the other problem is that it came too late, really. It was after they had pulled off this blindside, and Omarosa was already really angry, which made it look like, oh, I'm scared she's going to say something. Let me quickly tell you guys this thing, which, as you also said, makes it seem more important than it actually was. They had already assumed she had some kind of deal with Omarosa, but by saying it, by being like, I've got to come clean, guys, it makes it feel like this is, you know, this was secretly Chilltown, and she's revealing this like secret alliance from day one. So I do think it kind of put her at a disadvantage here. I think she either should have told them much earlier when she was starting to talk about the flip, or even before that, or just not said anything at all and let Omarosa, you know, talk. And then she'd be like, oh, yeah, she proposed something to me. And I was like, sure, but I didn't think it was a real thing. Yeah.
You don't think that if Omarosa just starts throwing her under the bus that people are going to start questioning Shannon's legitimacy in their alliance? You got to come in front of it no matter what. Even if it is late, you got to get out in front of it before she can throw you under the bus.
Well, I felt like that what Omarosa ended up doing actually only added more fuel to the fire, where she was like, I'm going to need to speak to Shannon by herself solo. And you know why. And Shannon was like, yeah, yeah, I get it. I get it. I get it. And everyone's like, oh, okay. Whoa, this is really, this is serious. It's, you know, Shannon made it sound like it wasn't that big a deal. And then when Omarosa's like singling her out, I need to talk to you, I thought it really made it seem like it was something. But then, and then Omarosa was just so mean to Shannon, where Shannon's like, her wheels were spinning. She's like, yeah, hi, hamana, 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 hamana. And he's like, look, you were the one. You didn't want to be a bitch on TV. Look what you've done. You've done this. This is all you.
Yeah, her voice gives me nightmares. It's kind of scary. It's like when your grandma's yelling at you and you're just like, stop. Just yell at me. Don't be so quiet. And that's a little worse, in my opinion, because I'm just on edge.
Yeah. Omarosa can spin any reality that she wants, Taryn. This is what she says to Shannon.
I don't care about the game. I genuinely care about you.
She didn't even care about the game. She only cared about Shannon Elizabeth.
I don't want people to see you as this mean girl. And that's what you didn't want people to see you as. And, you know, everybody talks about you like that. And yeah. I was the one person that didn't.
You were so horrible. And I was trying to protect you. I was your only friend here. Wait till you see the show. You'll see
everybody,
I was the only one that had your back. But you blew it. You blew it. Now everybody will see the true you. I tried to help you. Yeah. So, guys, all right, let's talk about the bowling event. And we end up having this huddle where this was great also. And you alluded to this, where Omarosa ends up overhearing Shannon's like, okay, everybody, let's knock out Arosa, knock out Omarosa. And Omarosa says, I'm sorry, what did you say? Did you just say it to my face? Say it to my face if you're going to tell everybody to go against me. That's just let's just call it out. Call it out. You're coming after me? Yep.
I loved that she just like walked up behind Shannon and just like kept like standing there silently as Shannon kept talking, and then just made a face like, all right, all right.
Mm-hmm. Just wanted to
it
be
was,
clear.
It was so good. So good.
Yep.
And then she was just like, apparently everybody's going after me. I'm just going to tell you the plan. So come after me. Let's just make this all out there. So she was just a mess.
Yeah. Taryn, now, did Keisha have the opportunity to be able to create the original order everybody was going? And did she select Omarosa to go in that first round?
I don't think so. I think it was random, right?
Was it randomized? Okay. So yeah, Omarosa had that first draft pick, and then she selected Marissa thinking that maybe Marissa would not be so good at it. But Marissa actually ends up mopping the floor with Omarosa. And then Omarosa ends up, Cameron, very quickly going immediately into the house. And we come to find out later, suffers an asthma attack, needs to leave the game, and will get medical treatment outside of the house. Basically, she was gone for, I'd say, in the neighborhood of, what, 18 hours, Taryn?
Yeah, I think so, at least. It was almost a full day.
Almost a full day. She goes and gets this medical treatment. Asthma attack, Cameron. Now, as an Omarosa historian, I can tell you that there has been no mention of Omarosa having any asthmatic condition in the 14-year history of Omarosa being a thing.
Yeah, and it was after she bowled a couple bowling balls and span around 12 times. She was just probably embarrassed that she lost so quickly. And it was just really convenient timing for her to all of a sudden have an asthma attack. And then I think she just needed time just to think of like her own strategy. So she just faked this asthma attack. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Taryn, do you believe in your heart of hearts, had Omarosa knocked out Marissa in the first round, would she have been able to continue on in the competition?
You know, I don't have the Omarosa history. She did mention on the feeds that, like, I think to Keisha, something about her lung, some issue with her lung. It's from what I'm seeing from Omarosa, it would not surprise me at all if she would have been able to continue. But I'm not quite willing to put my fist down and say I'm sure about it.
Cameron, you're a scientist. OK, so somebody with the kind of asthma that Omarosa claims to have, would she ever be without a nebulizer or inhaler or anything that would be necessary scary to her? And would Big Brother send her out into a situation without taking those types of precaution?
I don't think that they would have sent her out if she didn't have it. But it kind of looked like she might have grabbed something from her bag before she went in to the house. I don't
it
know.
It looked like she had an inhaler, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But yeah, you got to get cleared for all that. And she obviously was. I don't think that she had any problem for that competition.
Okay. Longtime reality TV fans will recall an incident that happened back in 2004 in the first season of The Apprentice. And this is probably before both of your times, but in the original season of The Apprentice, Omarosa was actually quite famous for an incident that happened where I went down the YouTube wormhole on this, that Omarosa was on a job site and got hit on the head with a piece of plaster during the first season of The Apprentice. And everybody was there. It wasn't an incident that was captured on film, but it was the kind of thing where she was like, oh, what was that? Nobody was like, oh my God, like an anvil fell on her head. But for weeks, Omarosa milked this injury to the point where she claimed to be concussed. And for the next few rounds of the game, she also said that this was something that hampered her job performance, that she had headaches and concussions, needed to go to the hospital. And that was why she could not perform well. And for as much as things were a meme in 2004, Cameron, this was something that was very much associated with Omarosa, to the point where if you got hit on the head in 2004 by like a feather, you could say that what are you pulling an Omarosa right now?
You got to hand it to her. She's trying to take any angle she can get. And if you got hit by that, why didn't she have an asthma attack then? Because that's kind of like a lot of dust and particulates. I think that she would have had an asthma attack then.
Who's to say? And I actually watched the clip from the original Apprentice. I went back and watched it this weekend. And Donald Trump, when he fires Omarosa the first time around, says, I've been getting hit on the head with plaster my whole life. And it's not a big deal. Omarosa, you're fired. So she would really was clinging to this, Taryn, that this was an injury that was holding her back.
It seems like there's a history of a lot of her behavior in the house so far. So I guess none of it should surprise me.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, Taryn, can you speak to, I know we'll get into the live feeds later, but can you speak to what we know about the treatment Omarosa received while she was out of the house?
Well, so she was in the hospital, we only know what she said, but she said she was in the hospital. They gave her a lot of drugs. She came back very happy because of those drugs. And she was also allowed to speak to her husband on the phone under supervision from production. But that did happen.
Okay. Cameron, for the people listening to the podcast, you had a wild reaction to her getting to speak to her husband.
That's ridiculous. The whole point of Big Brother is that you're like ostracized from everybody. And then the fact that you get to talk to your husband, Meta is crying in the DR that he can't talk and kiss his wife. It's just, it shouldn't be allowed. He might fake an injury just to go talk to his wife. It's stupid.
Yeah.
It's reinforcing bad behavior, in my opinion.
Yeah. Now, I must admit that I was really thinking that this was going to be the last we saw of Omarosa. I was one of the people that was not thinking that she would come back, that she would use this injury to say that, oh, she would have won. She had to be medically evacuated from the game. And, you know, she should. This wasn't a quit. It was a medical evacuation. To her credit, Taryn, she comes back pretty well composed from this.
Yeah, she came back. She was like, I gained some perspective. I really thought about it. I really want to make friends with you guys. I don't want things to be, heated. But then there's that, you know, nomination ceremony. And, I keep buying into this, like, Omarosa is nice as a nice person thing. I think at this point, I'm not going to anymore.
I think that she has lost that credibility, Cameron, in terms of to say that there's anything that she does in the house that is genuine. I am very much in the camp that everything Omarosa does is calculated.
Yeah, fool me once, shame on me. It's just constantly like she's messing with people and she's just trying to use any angle she can just to stay in that game. And it's just nonstop. I can't even think of it. Like the amount of time that's happened.
Because Taryn, the thing you have to always remember with Omarosa, there's a cycle of Omarosa that she ends up like, much like a clock, ends up, she'll do the 360 where she ends up going. It's always like Omarosa full on is, coming at you very aggressively to, I'm a new person and I've decided that I'm going to restart and I want a fresh start. And I think are getting the wrong impression about me. And so she'll do this again and again and again. And I guarantee you that we will see the more aggressive Omarosa again before this is all said and done.
It's a cycle. She's mean to you and you're like, ah, and then she's nice and you're like, oh, thank you for being nice. You're not being mean anymore.
You thought I was going to be mean to you. I don't know where people get these things. There's so many misconceptions about me.
And then she's just mean again. And it's just a cycle. You can't escape it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that even with everything about her and I don't want to go too into politics, but I'm watching these news shows and they're playing clips of her on the news and clips of her like going into her job at the White House. She's like, every person will bow down before President Trump. All of our enemies will bow down before him. He's the most powerful. And now she's on Big Brother. Like, I was the only one. And no one, I tried. Like I said, it's like she has no credibility, Cameron.
Yeah, everything is calculated. I think that even her just talking to Ross in that hilarious interaction was calculated so that way she could talk shit about Trump on air to America, and that like she couldn't get much backlash from it. So even just not just it, what she's doing in the game, just what the repercussions are in real life, it's just amazing.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about Ross now. He becomes the HOH. First off, now, Cameron, you said you didn't like that James threw this HOH to Ross. Let's talk that through in terms of that happening in the episode. So you feel like that this was a bad move for James? Because I felt like it took a lot of heat off James.
Yeah, I mean, it shows that James is willing to work with Shannon and the girls. But I just don't want this to set a precedent for the rest of the season. I think for him as an individual, it's good. But for me as a viewer, I'd rather him have tried and then gone after, Omarosa and whatever her name is, because I can't. Keisha, she's so boring. I can't stand when she's on the screen. It's just, her voice is boring. Her attitude is boring. Her everything is boring. So I'm sorry, I got distracted. And Adriana are boring.
Yeah. Taryn, how for James, did you like that he threw the HOH to Ross?
You know what? I think it probably was a halfway decent move by him. The problem is that he was so dominant in the rounds leading up to that, that it didn't really diminish his challenge performance appearance. So if you're going to throw it early and make it seem like you know what, he was good at that endurance competition, but other than that, he's so uncoordinated and he can't do these things and he's not good at the quiz ones. But when you're so dominant and then, oh, at the last second, oh, whoa, whoops, I guess I lost. It doesn't really help you out as much.
Yep. But I will say that I think it was a positive thing because maybe people aren't thinking that he's going to stink in the challenges, but I felt like it helped get him a little bit back under the radar this week, which was what he needed after being so out in front in the first week. So Ross is the HOH. And we hear Ross say, you know, this is such a slam dunk, open and shut HOH week for Ross.
I feel good because I feel like it's not a week where I have to make crazy waves. Like there could be no bigger wave than what happened already.
Not a week where you need to make crazy waves. It's really, Cameron, for Ross, it's just open and shut. Omarosa and Keisha. Easy peasy.
Yeah, and that's what it should be. And that's what it was. And I don't see any problem with his nominations. That's what I would have done.
Seems to make sense. Yeah. You know, traditionally you have the people, you have the HOH who is blindsided and the one vote. Of course, there should have been a second vote that was to keep Chuck in the house. Taryn, we found out that Meta World Peace did not know that he was voting. And we touched on this on Friday night, but they did a great job on the show. And I didn't think that the show would touch on this because I think that maybe the show would shy away from, oh, there's a player in the game that doesn't know the rules. But how funny was that to see Omarosa and Keisha explain to Meta World Peace, no, you voted to vote Chuck out of the house.
Yeah, hashtag regret a world peace. I think that world Meta is an amazing character on the show. I think that because again, people were in the beginning were like, oh, what a waste of a spot. He's not trying, but like he is playing the game, actively trying to get himself evicted. So it's not like he's not doing anything, and he's incredibly amusing while he does it. He's doing so many funny things. He might be my favorite person on the show right now.
Yeah, Cameron, I agree with that. I think it's fun when you have like one person that really is a space cadet and doesn't know what he's doing, like the Gary Busey that's like, wait, where am I? What is this? If you have five or six people in a season like that, that's no good. But one person like that, I think is perfect.
Yeah, and him just being himself right now is actually like turning out to be great strategy. He's going to stay so long because nobody wants to get rid of him because he doesn't know what a backdoor is. He doesn't even know how he's voting. So why would you want to get rid of someone like that? I just see him inadvertently getting really far in the game when he's trying to get himself evicted, and it's cracking me up.
Yeah, I thought it was also really funny when he's in the diary room with the owl talking about how he was going to be much more focused from now on.
I guess I gotta stop paying attention more. Now it's razor sharp focus.
In his position on the in the DR today, it was he was like climbing on top of the chair. It was like hilarious.
Yeah, he's so bored, I think, Taryn, that he's just inventing ways to make it fun for him.
Yeah, he's just like he's so done with the show that he's just like whatever. I'm just gonna amuse myself.
Mm-hmm. He's like the Kevin of last season.
Yeah, so. We see in the absence of Omarosa, there's still a lot of planning going on, and Ross is talking with Keisha and talking with Marissa and with Ari, and they're seeing a lot of Shannon. She's playing pool with James. They're feeling like, oh boy, what's up with these two? Cameron, what, we're not allowed to talk to James in the house?
Well, when he was target number one going into last week, you might not want to be like buddy-buddy with him. And especially because he's like a player. He's a game player. And Shannon is one of the best game players in the house. So it might not look good. But they were right next to them. It was the HOH in the pool. It's just like you can go out and play pool with them and see what they're talking about. If they're having like a weird conversation, you'll know right away because all of a sudden they don't just start talking about tattoos. So I don't understand why they were so afraid. I think Ross was just setting a seed in their heads like, for future, not right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, this is like, you know, Rob knows because I was tweeting about this. Like, okay, so the idea to potentially target Shannon this week came from Brandy and Ariadna. They put the seed into Ross's head, and so when they initially started showing this idea on this show, they started it with Ross talking with Marissa, which actually happened right after he had talked with Brandy and Ariadna. And I was initially like, oh man, they're not even giving, you know, Brandy and Ari any credit. Like they were the ones that came up with this idea. They pushed it. And then they went even further and made it look like Ross planted the seed in their head when in that very scene, they were pushing it on him even more. Come on guys with this. And again, like, I have no problem with a non-sequestered jury. I think it's you know, it's something that you have to do with Celebrity Big Brother. But I feel like this could really impact how the jury sees them in the final two. If Ross is sitting there next to Ariadna or Brandy and people don't even recognize that they were the ones that put this idea into his head because it was edited that way, that's kind of annoying.
Yeah, Cameron, I'm not sure how many people that get kicked out of the house are going to be glued to the live feeds. As somebody who got to see the season play out in Big Brother 19, how would you feel about being a part of a unsequestered jury? Do you feel like that you would have had a good sense, even maybe a better sense of how everything went down than the people that actually got to vote?
I think I would have, but I don't know if like some people like Kevin or other people that don't really care about the show would have like followed up on what was actually going on in the house. So I don't think these celebrities are going to follow up. They're just going to watch the episodes and I don't know, maybe participate online, but that's a stretch. I don't think that they're going to know that Brandy and Ariadna came up with this idea. I didn't even know. And I've been like trying to keep up as much as I can. So I don't think Chuck will know.
Yeah, and like people were responding to me saying like, oh, well, that's fine. Like, we can tell them what happened. But like, especially with these celebrities, they get out of the house, they're going to be like, people are going to be talking to them left and right, and they're not going to know what's fact and fiction. The show is what's going to inform them more than anything, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that even a bigger deal than the people actually getting to watch the show, I think, is going to be all of the people that are in their ear. And even like on Twitter with Big Brother OTT, when those people came out of the house, you know, there would be like a whole sense of like, people just like sort of went to their corners, and then you were getting a lot of information, and sort of like, it was very polarized, and a lot of like, confirmation bias in terms of like, oh, the people that were with you, they were always saying good things about you. The people that were against you, they were always saying bad things against you. And so I think that that is something that could potentially be problematic, but we'll see how that all goes as it plays out. So let's talk about Ross's speech. And Taryn, you were mentioning Omarosa in terms of how she reacted to that. I actually didn't think that that was that bad of a reaction from Omarosa. I felt like that was almost Omarosa saying like, Ross, come on. Booby, come on. You don't have to waste these words on me. Like, I know how it is. Come on.
Well, you know, maybe Omarosa wasn't there for like the rehearsal, or like to hear the rules read that like the HOH is going to give a speech afterward. So she didn't know how rude she was being, but like, you got to give the HOH their time to give a speech. And if you don't do that, it feels a little passive aggressive. And again, when we're talking about, am I going to give her the benefit of the doubt? Not anymore. I think that was actual passive aggressive.
Okay. Cameron, what did you think about Omarosa's reaction to getting put up on the block by Ross?
That was ridiculous. She's a fan. She said Howie was one of her favorites from Big Brother 15. It was just like rude. It was inconsiderate. And she was just annoying me. Like, you shouldn't do that. Listen, sit there, and then mope about it later.
Yeah. But when she gives somebody the daggers, you know, like I feel like that it's not like there's no sort of like, is she mad at me or not? I thought that that was sort of just like good natured of like, I understand you don't even have to like give me your reason about it, where if she wants to be cutting, she could cut him down so quick and turn him into nothing.
Well, maybe that's why I felt like Ross held his own, because I did feel like it was like, oh, all right, listen, if you don't want to hear it, you can leave. And I can say it to everyone else then, because she didn't have much to say after that.
It wasn't particularly long either.
And did he say anything to Keisha?
No, he was literally just like, it's a game. It's nothing personal. Mm-hmm. That's about it.
Yeah. Okay. One of the things that did bother me, though, I felt like that all the celebrities really were like bending over backwards to say, oh my God, I'm so concerned about Omarosa's well-being. That being said, you know, they all did, you know, like, oh, if I was in the outside world, I would make chicken soup. I would put her feet up. I would take care of her. I would make her breakfast in bed. But, you know, it's all everything before the butt doesn't matter. Right, Cameron?
Yeah, I don't think anybody really cared. I think they all wanted her to quit.
Yeah, they all. Well, I really hope Omarosa comes back. I hope she's fine, but I really hope she doesn't come back. All right, let's take some questions, and then we'll get into stuff from the live feeds. Tara, was there anything else that you wanted to highlight from this episode?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right, let's take some questions. Hashtag RHAP. By the way, Scott St. Pierre, I really like the new backgrounds for the questions this season. Brendan Fitzpatrick says, did you notice in the post-nominations part that Omarosa didn't even bother to close the fridge after grabbing her wine? Rude. Close the fridge. Now, Cameron, tell me, would keeping the refrigerator open increase the humidity in the air, thus improving conditions for Omarosa's asthma?
I don't know anything about asthma, but I don't think it's really that rude either, because I do it all the time. Maybe I'm just a flop.
You walk away, you open the refrigerator, and then you just leave.
I open it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe she wants to pour herself a glass and put it back in. I think we're just jumping down her throat. There's plenty to jump down her throat about, but leaving the refrigerator door open, I don't think is one of them.
Yeah. Taryn, in fairness, my kids do it all the time.
Yeah, I think you're all monsters. Close the refrigerator.
Close the refrigerator. All right. So look, she was going to get a drink, I'm sure sitting there for that nomination speech, you get thirsty. Taryn, I was kind of hoping that we were going to get the old school nominations here with only an 11-person cast.
You would hope, but I think it's gone for good. I don't think we're ever getting it back.
Okay. All right. Sad to hear. Scott, I don't have another question up, but maybe what we'll do, let's go to the live feeds and then we will come back and get to more questions after the fact. So if you were going to jump out now, hey, we'll talk to you again soon. 24 hours from now, that's like one asthma attack away. And we'll get to everything that's going on here with the second eviction from Big Brother Celebrity Edition coming up on Monday night. Very excited about talking that through. Plus live veto competition, Taryn.
Yes, then that means like there's no real huge major spoilers here because the last event that happened was the nomination ceremony. So it's really just furthering the plans of happen.
Well, so basically, yeah, stick around if you want. Is you know, if you're super sensitive about it, we're going to talk through some of the other plans going on in the house since the nomination speech. That's what's coming up. And actually, some of these plans, I think, started before the nomination speech. So that's what we're going to do here after this.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay. All right. Ready for spoilers. Okay. I got my spoilers on. Yes. And ready to talk through some spoilers tonight. Okay. All right. All right. Taryn, Ross has been a busy guy coming up with a lot of plans for this HOH. He said it would be so easy. No need to overthink it.
Yeah. You know, because again, like he says that right after he wins HOH, and that's exactly what he should be doing. But it seems like this accelerated timeline has really got people thinking they need to overplay. And they really don't. Because like there may be a much shorter end date, but there's still the same amount of eliminations. It's not like it's not like just because the finale is 2 weeks from now, that doesn't mean that all of a sudden, you know, the game stops. So, you know, it really does feel like he's gone off the reservation a bit here. He's not doing too well.
Yeah, Cameron, that's an interesting point that Taryn brings up of trying to find the balance between there's not a lot of time until the end of the game, but there are a lot of votes that you have to get through. So how do you ride through that gauntlet of being ready to make moves and be aggressive, but still be passive enough that you're not going to be seen as a target with six or seven eliminations to go?
I think, you just got to make your moves. Not when it's so obvious. Like, for instance, this week, you got Keisha and Omarosa. They're not going to get themselves off the block at all. Like, I don't think that they have a chance that they're going to win a competition. So just get them out now. And if you have like further down the line when it's an odd number thing where you're the HOH and you can cast the flip vote, that's where you're going to get the most sway in the end where they're trying to vote on who's going to win because the HOH determined who went home.
Okay, Taryn, so we talked about Shannon and James. Ross sees them. He's talking about them. You said give credit to Brandy and Ari for putting this seed out there. So talk to me about what the current state of the HOH plans are.
Yeah, so Ari came up with the first. Ariadna, it was like, we should get rid of Shannon. We should put her up. We should backdoor her. And then Brandy took that idea and ran with it. They proposed it to Ross. And Ross at first, correctly, was like, oh, I don't know about that. That's a little bit much, I think. But as he talked it over, as he talked it through with a bunch of different people, he started to come around on this idea of like, maybe I should target Shannon. You know, she is the biggest threat. And we talked about it on the update this morning, but like Ross has gotten to a position where he feels like he is in control of the house. He's in the center of everything. Everybody has a relationship with Ross. And because of that, he feels like, well, if nobody's coming after me, I might as well just target the biggest threat in Shannon. Not really realizing that like every single person is telling him, oh yeah, that's a great idea. That's what I was going to do if I won HOH next week, which should tell you, okay, then I'm going to not do it and let you do it next week. Because if I do it right now, I'm doing your work for you. And next week, you'll be free to target me because I'll be the next biggest threat.
Cameron, I love it when Taryn gets this animated. Yeah, he's very worked up about this. Cameron, so Ross has been accused of having a bit of the HOH-itis, and I think that, you know, there's so many different dynamics to discuss here in this shortened format for the season. That do you think that the HOH power is more intoxicating when you only have it for over a weekend? Do you think that the average HOH comes in, has the power, feels good for the weekend, and then sort of has, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday to sort of ingratiate back in with the rest of the house?
I think you'd have more HOH-itis if you had it for the whole week. You got more time to be the top dog. So if anything, I think it should just be shorter term. You have a less HOH-itis. And I think that Ross should realize that he needs bigger threats in front of him. He shouldn't put Shannon up.
Karen, what do you think about the concentrated dose of HOH?
I don't think it's necessarily concentrating the HOH-itis element of it, but I do think it's probably giving you a sense of like, this power is so fleeting, I need to do something with it. I can't just sit around and let it leave my hands so quickly. And I think that's maybe why it's like, well, this is my chance, and I only have a couple days to get this right. So he's like, okay, fine, I gotta take out Shannon. She's too dangerous.
Yeah. Your chances to get somebody out that isn't working with you. So why would you get rid of Shannon, who's definitely working with you? It makes no sense. You got to get rid of Omarosa or Keisha, who you just flipped the house on. You think that Shannon is going to come after you? That's ridiculous. I don't understand.
Karen, would you say that you feel like that the reasoning here in Ross's mind is that her and James together are such big competition threats? If they have an opportunity to take one out now, that's the only thing standing between Ross and his group running the table?
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of it. I mean, another part of it is that Brandy and Ari have done a really good job of convincing Ross that Shannon and James have this very tight final two alliance, which they don't. And even to the point where Brandy was just outright lying multiple times to Ross, saying like, Shannon, she's been up all morning talking to everyone. Shannon slept until like noon. and she's like, oh, did you see how nervous she was as she's like just hanging out and not doing anything? So like they are really, really pushing it hard. And Ross is so busy talking to everyone, thinking about the plan, running it by people, that he's not even talking to Shannon and getting a good read on her as far as like where she stands and how, what her relationship with James is. So I think his perception of the house is starting to be warped by Brandy and Ari, and it's I think affecting his decision.
Taryn, let me run something past you in terms of Shannon, because it's going to sound crazy, but maybe is this exactly what Shannon needs to potentially win this game? Because if she can survive going up on the block, and hypothetically, I think you have to say there's a much better than 0% chance that she either wins the veto or James wins the veto coming up on Monday night. But could you see a Kevin Martin-esque story for Shannon, who came in prohibitive favorite, overplayed, got people mad, and then just had to beast out in the challenges to win this thing?
Are you to me? No, I think it's ridiculous. I don't think that you can go on a challenge run this early. You can't pull Kevin Martin. It only happens once. I just think that Shannon, that's just dumb. James Maslow faced the pressure, and good for him. I think he's going to have a good run at this, but you want to avoid the block as much as possible, not beyond it.
But Taryn, with the two of them, could there be like this Bonnie and Clyde alliance of everybody's coming at them? They've got to win the comps and they can protect each other, almost sort of like this platonic showmance where they have each other's backs. They're the two best people in the competitions. I feel like that would be fun.
It would be fun. I don't think it's possible, though. I think that, you know, this isn't Big Brother Canada. These competitions are much more high variance, and it's going to be really difficult to win every single one of them. And if they win back to back to back, the one time they don't win, they're done.
Okay, so Taryn, talk to me about how many people in the house know about Ross's intentions
to backdoor Shannon.
Yes.
Everybody,
even the Brandy and Omarosa side, the Omarosa and Keisha and Meta, they all know about it too.
Everybody except for Shannon and James now know about the plan, because some interesting things have happened. Marissa ended up talking to Keisha saying, hey, you know, we've got a plan to potentially backdoor Shannon here. And Keisha didn't really believe it. And then Omarosa, I don't know how she figured it out. Maybe Keisha told her, but she was talking to Keisha and she was telling Keisha, I think there's a plan in the works to maybe backdoor Shannon. I've been picking up on signs. I have no idea how she divined this information. Some people are connecting it to the conversation she had with her husband in the hospital. I don't know where it came from, but Omarosa knows for sure. Keisha knows because Marissa told her. I think Marissa is worried that that Ross is playing her, that Ross has no intention of following through, and that he's dangling this in front of her as like a distraction. So I think Marissa really, really wants to work with Keisha. She really feels like she has a good bond with Keisha. So it's all over the place, and Ross is already starting to lose control of where it's unraveling or where it's raveling.
Did Omarosa and Keisha do anything, or did they just lay low?
Well, here's the thing: Omarosa has been playing up the asthma, the lung problem. Like, I can't do well in the competitions. She's much more calm. Meanwhile, Keisha has been trying to repair the relationships that she kind of let go during the last week. So they have been doing a pretty good job. You know, Keisha did a really good job on Marissa to get Marissa really wanting to work with her again. So you got to give them some credit. But I think if the backdoor happens, it's mostly because of Brandy and Ari, partly because of Keisha, and then, you know, partly because of Marissa and Ross deciding to go along with it.
Taryn, talk to me about Shannon and where her head is at, that she's just oblivious to all of this going on, because that seems like that she had really so many conversations in the first couple of days of action that we saw. It is surprising that she would not be able to suss this out.
Yeah, you know, and that's why, like, I've been talking about, like, Shannon is playing a Vanessa kind of game. The problem was that in order to play that game, you need to be on top of everything. You need to be able to make the reads that Vanessa was able to do. Anytime Vanessa was in trouble, she was able to spot it and then, like, run around with tears, fast talking at people until she was somehow safe again. And I think that Shannon could do that if she figured it out, because there is real potential for her to save herself, because, like I've been saying, I don't think it makes sense for Ross to do this. So if she found out and went to Ross and said, here's why it doesn't make sense for you to do this, I'm loyal to you, you'll be the next target, so on and so forth, I think she can talk him out of it. But if she never figures it out, we could see her completely blindsided tomorrow night and out of the house before she can even say a word.
Taryn, have we gotten to the point where there's talk to, hey, we got to make sure we throw this veto, Shannon, that we got to make sure, has anybody gotten that far to her or to James?
Not quite. Ross did go to both of them because he was like, if I don't pick one of them, it's going to look really shady. So he was like, I'll pick James and not Shannon, and just hope that James doesn't win it. So he went to the two of them and said, we talked about, like, oh, who should I pick? Shannon, I feel like your target is so big. I don't want to, you know, make that target any bigger. So maybe James is the right choice. And she was like, I don't care. Let's just pick me. He was like, yeah, I don't want to do that to you, though. So he's pushing really hard.
Cameron, with there being a live veto competition, that to me always speaks to something physical. Go out, find the, you know, get the clown shoes, bring them back, jump over the hurdle. You know, we have sort of like have had like table mazes, but to me it speaks to something. Go sprint, do something, come back, sprint again. I think that there's a really strong chance that either James or Shannon ends up winning this veto competition tomorrow night.
Yeah, I guess it all depends on if Meta, he's probably good at, like, you know, flipping stuff or doing whatever it needs to take for a veto competition. And so he could be the only other contender if it really is quick endurance, rapid fire kind of challenge, which it probably will be.
So, Taryn, let's say the veto goes to either Shannon or to James. And in that scenario, who does the house want to send out if they have to keep the nominees the same?
So this is another interesting situation because, like I said, Marissa really wants to keep Keisha in the game. And James really wants to keep Omarosa in the game. He wants to get rid of Keisha. Marissa and Ross have been, you know, trying to tally up the votes for Keisha to stay, and James has been campaigning for Keisha to go. So really, it might come down to a split vote where they haven't really made a consensus. Shannon and James will probably be voting to evict Keisha. Ross and Ross isn't voting. Marissa will be voting to keep Keisha. And I believe Brandy and Ari will go along with that as well. So the swing votes will be Meta and Mark. And I think Mark will, as a whole, go along with what Marissa and Ross want. But if Shannon and James get to him, who knows? He doesn't necessarily feel super included with the rest of them. So it could go either way, really.
You know, Mark is somebody that we've barely touched on these last couple of shows. That is he doing anything in the house, Taryn?
Yeah, he is really taking the lying low thing to another level at this point. he's like, okay, guys, if you want to put me up as a pawn, I'm all for it.
He's I'll gone go full Kevin.
Yeah, basically. You know, I don't know how strategically he's thinking, but
Mark, trust me. This is the you got to play it this way. Trust me. Trust me, Sugar Ray.
he's just trying to get involved in a group. I think he was so shaken by the fact that he had no numbers when he started the game that he wants anybody who's willing to accept him. He's willing to. Oh, thank you. I'm good. I'll do whatever you want. He was very excited about the idea of backdooring Shannon.
Okay. And Marissa, I feel like that she's also been somewhat forgotten, Taryn.
Marissa shouldn't be forgotten. I think even Ross is forgetting about it. I think Ross is taking her loyalty for granted in the same way that Shannon is taking Ross's loyalty for granted. I think that, you know, Marissa was talking to Brandy about, like, you know, Ross has Mark. I don't have Mark. I don't know where Mark stands, but Ross has him. And again, she was talking to Keisha. I feel like the reason Marissa is so gung-ho about keeping Keisha around is because she feels like Keisha is hers. You know, she has a bond with Keisha that other people don't have. And so she's trying to compete with Ross in terms of influence. And I think that's dangerous for Ross.
Okay. Exciting stuff coming up. It should be a fun live eviction show. I want to get back to the questions. Anything else from the live feeds that you want to report from today?
No, I don't think so. You know, things currently not looking great for Shannon, but we're going to see it. It could be an exciting eviction on it.
Okay. All right. We'll see if Bonnie and Clyde can really turn this thing around. Johnny D. Silvera says, why is Ross rocking the boat now with considering nominating Shannon and James? The veto is won and used by anyone but Meta. Why not be safe this week and just nominate him as a pawn? So, all right, Karen, we haven't really touched too much on Meta wants to go home. People are not letting him go home.
Yeah, I wouldn't want him to go home either. Because he's just not a threat to anybody. So why would you even want him to go home? It doesn't make any sense. And I don't understand why Ross is rocking the boat. He should just go for Omarosa or Keisha. I don't think anybody understands his reasoning. Just that, I guess, Brandy and Adriana got to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stacked in NFL is in the chat reminded me that they have a theory about Meta because his behavior is so odd. They were like, he's got to be America's player, right? He's doing weird things. He was like wearing shorts on his head and they were like, why is he wearing shorts on his head? Oh, it's a task. It's an America's player task. Why did he vote for Chuck to leave? It was America's player, and he's just playing it off as though he accidentally did it. It's very funny.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be crazy if there was like a final bit at the finale, and then it turns out he's just been like playing us all?
Even awesome. America?
Yeah.
So, Taryn, did they try to confront Meta World Peace about this?
No, I don't think they haven't really, they've discussed it, but, you know, it's like it's a fun theory. There's nothing serious so far.
Yeah. Also, Taryn, I know a lot of people were upset today that Omarosa referred to Ross Matthews as the Pillsbury Doughboy. People were upset about that.
Yes, the fat shaming is a no-go. Not happy about it.
For the record, Pillsbury Doughboy is a lovable character. People have always they stick their finger in his belly and then he makes this noise. Yeah. So people really they love the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Yeah, I don't see a problem with that.
I was not expecting that noise.
That's what he says. Don't call him the Pillsbury Doughboy. Come on, stop it. Take it back, Omarosa. All right, Brent the Shower Man. Is James the best narrator of the season? Cameron, what do you think about that? Are you enjoying your boy James Maslow's narration this season?
Yeah, I didn't appreciate him saying your boy this episode, but yeah, he's doing a great job. I think him and
are you triggered by that?
Yeah, I'm annoyed with the Paul love. He was in the last four seasons. Like, mm-hmm. He just showed up. So
what did you do the other night when you saw Paul dancing in the premiere?
I was just like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, can't get away from this guy. Ugh.
Everywhere I go, he just keeps replacing me.
God damn it. Could have been me singing.
Were you mad that Jody got to be in the big musical number?
No, actually, I was pretty happy that Big Brother won't forget about us little people, us people that were only in there for a couple hours. So I was actually pretty happy about
that. Yes, that was good. All right, let's take some more questions. This is one. Chocolate Thunder. Does the live veto ceremony increase the chances of a Shannon backdoor? Well, Taryn, it sounds like it's 100% on, assuming that her or James doesn't win the power veto. Is there anybody else that could win the veto that could potentially shake things up?
You know, Ross, he has wavered about this. Like, I think there's like two voices in his head right now. One is the smart voice that's like, Ross, this is not the good time to do this. You shouldn't do this. And then the other one is like, big move. It's a short game. Shannon's a big target.
Which is the one that says make chicken soup for Omarosa?
I think that's Omarosa. I think she's just he is leaning toward doing it, but I think he could sway back to the other side in the moment. But I do think the fact that it's live will increase the chances of him deciding to do it, because the fallout will be very quick.
Yeah. Let me ask a question in terms of Omarosa competing in this veto competition. Do you think that we will see, and we went through this a lot with Christmas during Big Brother 19, will they cater the competitions to be something that she will do? It seemed as though there was very little indication that we saw competitions that were made to accommodate Christmas. Do you think that we will be less likely to see a physical competition in the veto based on Omarosa needing to participate, Taryn?
I don't know, because, you know, the fact that they have to do these competitions live, I have to imagine that they came up with specific ones that they felt they were able to do live. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if we see what are the typical HOH competitions as a lot of these veto competitions, just because, you don't usually do a veto competition live and you usually do an HOH live, but they've said that they are not going to do any of the HOH competitions live this season. So, we may get a little bit
maybe
of a swap
quiz.
Yeah, it may be.
Which I think that also will speak to Shannon as well. So I think that she's a very unique challenge threat in that I think that she would be really good at both the physical and the mental. But against, you know, Ross as well, it could be a tougher road for her there with a mental competition in terms of like memorizing stuff around the house.
I don't know. She's got some responsibilities. So.
Yeah. Mike Bloom says, are you surprised that James didn't resort to stripping to earn votes? Cameron, was that a mistake from James?
No, like, I mean, he's built. Of course he should have stripped. He could have had zero votes to evict. Omarosa would have been like all about that. But I don't think he needed it. He is better looking than me, so.
Taryn, I've seen people say, is there ever a time when James isn't working out on the live feeds?
Not many, actually. He's fond of it. I gotta give him credit.
Good for James. All right. This is from Amy H, who says, if Ross gets the chance for the back door, is it a better idea to get out Shannon or James? Well, he is going to go for Shannon. Should he be pursuing James, Taryn? Would that be a better idea for Ross?
I don't think so. I think that, I mean, if you're going to take a shot, it should be Shannon. She is the more dangerous player. But I really just don't think he should be doing either.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's take this question. This is from Vintage Wingnut, who says, I was born with asthma. If Omarosa's self-reported symptoms aren't fake news, the combo of improperly controlled symptoms, elevated heart rate, and low potassium is risky for an asthmatic. And then Kimberly says, Rob, you're so right. Asthma is no joke. She leisurely walked to the diary room door asking for a medic. As a person who is consistently reaching for her inhaler, it was a bit relaxed. So we don't know exactly, you know, I don't want to say that this is 100% faked. I will say that I do believe that to some degree, Cameron, that this was an exaggerated asthma attack from Omarosa.
Yeah, and she, I mean, I got to hand it to her. She's just trying to use any angle that she can. And if she's using it on the live feeds just to say, hey, I'm not going to be good at any competition, just like Christmas was doing, I just think that that's exactly what you got to do. You got to just play every angle you can. And if her angles aren't lining up with the competitions, then you got to just say, hey, I'm going to be terrible at competitions. Look at how I lost. I didn't even get like a couple pins, you know,
Yeah.
The fact that she was able to talk to her husband, I think speaks to the idea that like she definitely held hostage her status as being in the game of Big Brother in order to speak with, like, there's no way they would have just let that happen if she just asked for it. She was like, if you guys don't do this, I'm not going back in the house. So she was playing something at some point. We know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she takes no prisoners. That's her attitude in the game. And I'm sure that that is also her attitude with production. And so they know what they're getting. They know what they're getting with Omarosa. So it's a complicated couple of weeks for everybody involved. I also thought it was funny during the bowling competition that, Taryn, they had a graphic on the bottom of the screen to tell us how many pins had been knocked out. Like, there were only four pins. Why did I need an X to tell me, oh, two pins are knocked down, that's why there's only two left up on the screen? It's not like a football game where there's like, oh, there's three timeouts left that I can't see on the screen. I didn't need the graphic to tell me what was going on.
I mean, apparently this is a popular thing. I've been reading all over the place that that NBC is way over explaining the Olympics. So yeah, it's just a trend.
Do they have the Olympians in the diary room screaming the rules to all of the games?
No, I think they have announcers, which is probably way worse.
Way worse. Okay. A couple more questions here. That Matt wants to know, do you think we'll see the Zingbot? Cameron, do you think that the celebrities will get zinged in this short run?
No, I don't, actually. I think that the celebrities will be too butthurt. I don't think any of them besides Shannon and Ross and Marissa will really even know what it is and care. So I don't think that they'll get zinged.
Taryn, plant your flag. Zingbot or no?
I think we'll get it. They talked about it. You know, I don't know if they talked about it because they know that it's going to be coming or if they're just hoping that it's coming. But it was talked about. They were like, oh, man, we wish Zingbot would come like early.
Mm-hmm.
They can roast everyone.
I will also plant my flag. I think the Zingbot is coming, and I'm going to get super specific. I think the Zingbot is coming, and I will say, I think the Zingbot is coming this Friday. We've got these 2-hour Friday night shows to fill. We need filler. We got a veto competition that plays out on those Friday night shows. The Zingbot is going to want to come in when there's more people in the house than less. If you did it a week from now, maybe you could do it next Friday when there's only maybe like 6 or 7 people by next Friday night. But I think that they want the Zingbot in there, and I think they want to do it soon.
Isn't Friday the worst day for television, though? I don't know.
Well, look, it's the best day for Zingbot, maybe. Maybe he could be a little more off color on a Friday night, Taryn.
Yeah, maybe. Get those Zingbot ratings.
That's right. I mean, the Zingbot's already cursing, says Mark is a bisexual, so who knows? Who knows what the Zingbot could do? That's the one thing I told my son, Dominic, who's 4, that I was going to watch Big Brother. He said, is the Zingbot going to be on? So that's the only thing that he cares about, Zingbot. All right. Thomas McGee, is it smarter to keep Omarosa over Keisha since she would be easier to beat in competitions and a perfect candidate for a final two scenario? Yeah, Taryn, that's the thing that I don't get, is people even contemplating keeping Omarosa around. I mean, she's so deadly. Why not keep Keisha in the house?
I mean, I think from a lot of people's perspective, it's that Omarosa is not going to be doing anything in the challenges, which means she'll never have any real power. She's not particularly influential in the house, and nobody likes her, so she probably won't be voted to win in the end. So,
well, what is Keisha Janelle in the challenges?
Well, no, but I think that people see weakness. They smell blood in the water, and they're like, oh yes, we got to keep Omarosa. She's not going to win any competitions.
That's a bad idea, Cameron.
Yeah, I don't think that it's going to matter.
Yeah. I mean, look, the Omarosa is just going to cause so much trouble that she'll blow up alliances. What is Keisha going to do?
Well, I guess there's some merit. Like, Keisha is much more capable of blending back in. She's a much more likable person in general, so she is more likely to win jury votes. So, like, in terms of, you know, the enemy you know is better than the enemy you don't know, I guess, you know?
Mm-hmm. Rose is not even likable at all, and that's why you'd want to get rid of her. I don't understand. Like, you still have to deal with 2 weeks of these people, and I wouldn't want to spend any time with her. So that would be, like, my if I was in there... That's why I would want to get rid of her personally.
Okay. All right. This is from Matthew Martin. With Omarosa's injury, will they limit the number of physical competitions this season? And I mean, I would imagine that the competitions are all set. They're built. It's a short runway in terms of between now. I believe the season finale is 2 weeks from tonight. So they must know all of the competitions. I think the one thing you could play with is the order that you ended up doing them, Taryn. But no, I don't think that they will end up getting away from the competitions they were originally going to do.
Yeah, I mean, they had to limit the backyard so that they'd have time to build everything. Like, they must have a very strict schedule in terms of, you know, how they're going to put all the competitions up and tear them down and all of that. So, like, introducing different competitions, I think, is very unlikely.
Okay. Brett the Shower Man, what other classic Big Brother comps do you want to see the celebrities compete in? Cameron, is there one particular Big Brother competition you're dying to see the celebrities partake in?
I love OTEV. So I want them to have the celebrities play some OTEV. I think that's the best.
I think we'll get that.
Yeah. So that's the one I want to see the most.
I think it's coming. Taryn, do you have one that you want to also do a request into the Big Brother competition team?
You know, I really liked that, that like quest one that Ramses was supposed to throw. And then that was a really fun one.
Can they get the guy that sits uncomfortably close to him in the airport back too? Yeah.
Like, and especially with the celebrities, they'd be so annoyed.
That'd be good. All right. Let's talk about what's
the weatherman one. The weatherman one is awesome.
Yeah.
I like a lot of the vetoes actually.
All right, let's talk about what's coming up. Of course, Taryn is going to be live tomorrow morning to go into everything with the Big Brother live feed updates for Eviction Night. So join Taryn at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific on robhasawebsite.com. Of course, you could follow Armstrong Taryn for the link. Taryn, can you give us a preview of who's going to be joining you tomorrow morning?
My American Ninja Warrior co-host Lita will be joining me. So okay. We'll have a lot of fun.
So if you want to stay up all night to make sure you don't miss a second or oversleep, that is going to be at 10 a.m. Eastern time on Monday, 10 a.m. Eastern time every day going all the way through whenever they turn the live feeds off. So join Taryn for that. All right. Cameron, so great to catch up with you.
Dude, thanks for having me, man. It's a blast coming on here.
Yes. Anything you want to tell people to check out, if people should follow you, get you verified on Twitter.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Cameron Hurd 210. Oh, and I would also request that you follow my dog on Instagram.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm in a competition with Corey. He doesn't know this yet. His dog has it's a social media mogul, and I just want
Corey from vanity. Big Brother.
Yeah, yeah, Big Brother 18. Yeah. Pure vanity. That's all I want.
Yes,
from
and you and him are friends, and you said whose dog could get the most friends on Instagram?
He doesn't know about this competition. It's just one-sided from me until I'm ahead.
Does he know about you? Does he know that you're competing with him or anything?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't know about the competition. This is just one-sided. I've talked to him, but not about his
dog. Do you hate his dog?
Yeah, because he has more followers than my dog.
Is your dog cuter?
Yes, way cuter. Best American Eskimo that there is. And his dog's name is Rory, and my dog's name is Ghost, so that's way cooler, too.
Ghost,
I don't understand. no, Ghost from Game of Thrones.
Okay,
from Game of Thrones.
That's right. Taryn, is it true you only follow cats on Instagram?
Yeah, that's true. You know, cats are just better.
Okay, that's fighting words, Cameron.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Okay, of course.
That's why you got to be an undercat, not an underdog.
Yeah, of course. You want to check out everything that's coming up with First One Out as well. Josh Wigler's ongoing Survivor preview series, edited expertly by Taryn Armstrong, coming up another episode this Wednesday. And of course, be sure to check out Taryn Armstrong on The Taryn Show. Can you give us a sneak preview for who's going to be the guest this week?
It could be anyone. It's mysterious. You never know.
Yes, Taryn, have you thought about bringing in anybody from the White House to talk Omarosa with you on The Taryn Show?
Maybe that's in the works. Who knows? You just gotta check out The Taryn Show. Cameron was on The Taryn Show once.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
White House Chief of Staff John Kelly would be a good get this week, Taryn. He had a lot of time with Omarosa.
All right. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
Put it out there. Maybe if everybody tweets to him, we can get him on The Taryn Show to talk through all this stuff with you. Okay. All right. Well,
he's just like, what's The Taryn Show? I'm getting tons of tweets. I guess I got to do it.
All right. I guess so.
Put it out there, guys.
Yeah. Hey, look, if you put it out into the universe, who knows? All right. So fun stuff. We'll be back in 24 hours to talk about whoever got evicted from the latest night of Celebrity Big Brother. It's all happening. We're doing this. This is a 2-week gauntlet. Very excited. Olympics, Schmolympics. That's what everybody is saying, because Celebrity Big Brother is real and it's happening. So just I'll be checking out the live feed update tomorrow morning. Hope you guys do too. And then join us back tomorrow night on robinswebsite.com. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.